keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
You heard the man. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. It is Wednesday. The cicadas are popping. It's a long way to the top for them. Thanks for joining us, 1-800-684-3110. Get yourself on the air today, because as those cicadas, which feel like a plague, have started to descend upon the South and other areas of the country, including my own home this morning, of course, it is a big day for President Trump, because there's a couple big updates, some of which dovetail directly off of the conversation we had where Jim Jordan had presented the investigation, because they believe the documents that they claimed were mishandled were then once again mishandled by the people who are alleging the mishandling. Of course, that's what happened. And guess what it actually did? It provided a pretty significant delay of what it looks like is going to happen in that case. There's also an update in the Fannie Willis situation, because that case, another one that feels like it's endless and never ends. Well, guess what? There's an update to both of those. We're going to dive in here in just a second, but I'm going to encourage you to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. All this happens as the police have just recently cleared out the protesters, if you will, the encampments at George Washington University, which one of the bigger ones in the country, turned pretty violent, but they took care of business. Again, when you give the police the right to actually do their job, they'll go in and do it. Later on in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Tulsi Gabbard, who's going to be coming in, talking about those protests, and of course, the funding of where those protests came from. She talks about that and her brand new book, which is out right now, For the Love of Country, which is breaking records. So we're going to discuss that. And a big ACLJ moment that you can be a part of to really start helping protect more pastors. There's a pastor currently in Malaysia that has been essentially abducted for his faith, for witnessing, for evangelizing. We're going to continue. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the broadcast. But I wanted to give you sort of a heads up what's coming on. Next segment, Harry Hutchinson's going to join us to break down. Will, maybe we can give just quickly the two current Trump situations that are happening right now in court.
That's right. So in Georgia, the appeals court has accepted his application for an interlocutory appeal. Now, that means it's an appeal not after the final judgment in a case, which you automatically have the right to appeal. It's appealing something within a case that is ongoing. So you're having to ask almost special permission of the higher court if they'll hear an appeal before the case is resolved. They granted that. He has 10 days to file notice of appeal now, go through those motions, and then get a brief in on his appeal. So the situation with Fannie Willis being on that case, still very much up in the air.
Still up in the air. And if you followed all that, I commend you. That means you're probably an avid watcher to this broadcast, or you're a legal scholar yourself. But we're going to break it down in the next segment. If you did listen, you go, I don't fully understand what they're saying. Stay tuned, because in the next segment, which is just in about 2 minutes, we're going to bring on Harry Hutchinson. We're going to break down that, as well as another situation in the Trump world. This, to me, is the one that is maybe even more fascinating, because this, the Fannie Willis one, it's scandalous. It's, you know, it's a big story, but there's obviously a lot going on there. This one is directly tied to what we talked about yesterday.
That's right. So it's the case with the classified documents was originally supposed to begin May 20th. Everyone knew that that wasn't going to happen as all these motions and issues kept coming up, but the judge had still not set a new trial date. Well, yesterday, and this comes on the heels after Jack Smith admitted in his filing over the weekend that, yeah, maybe they hadn't kept as good of records with the evidence as they thought they should have. Well, she has taken out the order of a May 20th start date of that trial and has not set a new one, meaning that case is indefinitely on hold while they go through what she calls a myriad of interconnected pretrial issues.
Yeah, you heard that right. Essentially, delayed indefinitely. Could that mean beyond this election? We'll talk about that coming up. But look, we're seeing the radical left weaponizing the judicial system, the justice system, against conservatives. You can help us. We got a new petition. That's right. Another one. Go to aclj.org/sign or scan the code right now. Sign the petition right now. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. Logan Seculo here, as well as Will Haynes joining us, executive producer in the studio. And now, senior counsel here at the ACLJ, Harry Hutchinson, is joining us. And we're going to discuss these new updates. Again, if you're just joining us, a lot of you are. First, I do have to say, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. But I have to say also, thank you. We just crossed 400,000 YouTube subscribers. That is a huge deal. That means so many new voices are hearing this broadcast, hearing this show. And after 30 years of being on the air, the fact that we were able to reach essentially a whole new group of, and then that's us, and only about 48% or so of our viewers actually are subscribers. That means we're reaching, you know, upwards of a million new people just by embracing technology and using what's free in front of you. So I want to thank all of you who watch on Rumble, all of you who watch on YouTube, Facebook, on social media in general, or online. You know, I'm thankful for our terrestrial radio audience, but we see the future, and thankfully there's brand new people like you, and I wanted to say thank you. Again, though, let's talk about, if you saw the headline, the two big issues happening this morning related to President Trump in court, which again, feels like this is a repeat, feels like this is ad nauseum. We've heard this so many times. When these guys told me what they wanted to do this morning for our topic, I rolled my eyes and said, do we have to do this again? But yes, because there are two big breaking news items out of this, which is, first, let's start with the Fannie Willis situation. That's the one I know a lot of you want to hear, but really the other one related to the documents we talked about yesterday, that's the work, you know, that we get involved. That's, you know, we're involved in both, but that is to me the one that's more interesting, because it's not about a scandal that then is causing a chaotic situation. The documents is specifically about what's happening legally and things that have happened and unfolded that way. So let's start, though, with the Fannie Willis situation. Why don't we just start with an update of what's going on? And Harry, you can kind of give people a breakdown of this, because at this situation, essentially the court has granted and said, yes, we at least are going to now consider the fact that she should not be on this.
Absolutely. So I think if you look at the central case affecting Fannie Willis, I think it's clear beyond question that there was indeed a conflict of interest between her and the special prosecutor with whom she had a relationship. The lower court judge, Judge McAfee, declined to disqualify Fannie Willis, but he allowed Donald Trump and the other defendants to bring an appeal to the Georgia Court of Appeals, which has now been granted. So this means they will hear the case. It also means that Fannie Willis could indeed still be disqualified, and it's possible that the case could be taken away from the Fulton County prosecutor, given to another prosecutor, and then that prosecutor could decide to dismiss the case. So it's a very important decision. It's a big win for Donald Trump and his fellow defendants. And I think we will have to see what the Georgia Court of Appeals does with it.
For a timeline, this could kick it down the road pretty significantly, or, you know, or it could be ruled fairly quickly. So they've what, how many days to respond?
So President Trump has to actually docket the appeal within 10 days. And then he has 20 days from docketing it to get essentially his merits brief, his first appeal brief in on this case. But I also had a question for Professor Hutchison, because this was an interlocutory appeal. It wasn't after a final judgment in a case. It wasn't.
We need to stop and say, what does that mean?
Right. But essentially, If you appeal a final judgment, like you have been convicted,
right,
that you automatically have the right to appeal. Interlocutory appeal means it's something within
currently
the case, and therefore it's not a given that you can even appeal it. Is there anything you can read into the fact that the higher court accepted this appeal when it didn't necessarily have to?
Yes, I think you can. I think you can assume that the court believes that there is at least some merit to the appeal. So in other words, they're not going to waste their time on a frivolous case. So certainly when we followed the case before Judge McAfee, there were clear grounds, including an odor of mendacity, which infected the trial and the proposed trial at the lower court level. I think District Attorney Fannie Willis has not basically complied with professional standards, And I think, actually, I think most people would agree with that. And I think the Georgia Court of Appeals, in some respects, is agreeing with that possibility, at least. Doesn't mean that they are going to rule in favor of Donald Trump and the fellow defendants, but I think he has a shot. And my own assessment is that he has a better than 50-50 chance of prevailing before the Court of Appeals.
All right, let's take this one. All right, so we got that one handled. Of course, if it's President Trump, there's a lot of lawsuits going on. There's a lot of court cases happening. We have to keep them all straight in our heads, and sometimes it's hard because there's so many happening. So much so, by the way, that I think they become less and less impactful, less and less meaningful, because if you hear the same story every day, eventually, though they are still legally very significant, I want to make sure people understand that. Like, they are alleging things that could get you thrown in jail, but in terms of the public perception, I think they become less and less powerful. Now, yesterday we reported the situation where Jim Jordan said, hey, it appears that the documents that you claim to be mishandled, the classified documents being kept in Mar-a-Lago, were in fact mishandled by the people collecting them. Who knew if anything was going to come from that? Look, I got some responses to that broadcast. This is Jim Jordan just puffing his chest. Nothing is going to happen. You need to tell him to take action, Governor. And of course, because I said, you know, there's good people. There are people like Jim Jordan who are out there. But no, action actually did happen very rapidly. And it appears to be, that's at least part of the reason why that situation, the Mar-a-Lago document situation, may be pushed on well beyond potentially the 2024 election.
Absolutely. It's likely to be pushed into 2025 at the earliest, in part because there are a ton of pretrial motions and pretrial issues that must be decided. Jack Smith essentially charged President Trump with doing what? Mishandling classified documents. And then the Department of Justice, under the control of Jack Smith, then tampered with or mishandled those documents himself.
Yep.
And so you cannot make it up. I mean, it is a brilliant illustration, I believe, of Jack Smith's willingness to overcharge other individuals for conduct that his office is arguably guilty of. In addition to which, it's possible that Jack Smith did something else, that he tampered with a witness by essentially promising to help the witness's lawyer attain a federal judgeship. Yeah. I think that has yet to be decided in terms of the implications.
In the news on this one, this is kind of bothers me a little bit. It's sure the headlines will show up like if you're looking at top news sources, but that is not the number one, not even the top 10 story probably happening across the country right now. The Fannie Willis one, yeah, sure, that's making some attention. But again, because it's scandalous, because I think people, I'm sure they see ratings pop for that. You have the other situation, obviously, the protests and all that happening. But this one, I didn't see many other people talking about, and it's a pretty devastating blow, I think, to that case. And to me, it's maybe the one time where they go, okay, you know what? We saw what happened with President Biden, that he also had. Look, let's say you think all of it's true, that President Trump had documents he shouldn't have had. Well, then we know for sure President Biden also had documents he shouldn't have had. What's clear is, however these documents are being transported, not necessarily the easiest, the best way, and probably not the most 2024 way in American society right now. Probably need to figure out a little safer way to do this. But also that you can't be on one side of the political spectrum. It's not that kind of issue. This is happening across the board. And maybe when you see this kind of impropriety happening, that you can just say, okay, this case, we're going to pump it so far into the future, into 2025, either President Trump will be the president, therefore this case is pretty much null and void, or he loses and we'll deal with it then. Getting it beyond the election, I think, is good. I think that's helpful. I did just look and see we only got a minute and a half left in this segment. I did want to encourage you, because during this time, we launch a lot of petitions. We launch a lot of ways for you to get involved. Right now, the radical left, like I said, has been weaponizing the judicial system. We've seen it now time and time again. We have defeated them multiple times in their attempt to either, whether it was to get Trump knocked off the ballot. We saw that happen in the Supreme Court. And just this morning, obviously, we saw what happened in the state of Georgia. Then we see what happens when Jim Jordan challenges the situation and says, those documents were also mishandled. We have proof. Guess what happens? Or you're trying to bribe someone to a judgeship. Those actions we are also getting ourselves involved in many different ways, but there's a way that you can do it right now, which is just to sign our petition, which, by the way, is about to cross 100,000. This is not a brand new petition, but it's a brand new petition for this broadcast. It's been one at the ACLJ that we've had for a little while. You can get involved in it right now. I'm going to look at the current number that we're at. We are over 92,000, almost 93,000 signers to that petition. Do it right now. Scan the code on your screen or go to ACLJ.org/sign. Coming up in the next segment, we have Tulsi Gabbard. We're going to talk a bit more about the funding that's going on in these protests. These encampments, thankfully, are starting to become less and less as they approach graduation ceremonies and things like that. We are starting to see the police actually take some real action. And of course, we know where that funding's coming from. We're going to talk about that with her coming up. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We have other we have one line open, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk about the court cases with President Trump, if you want to talk about what's happening in Israel or anything else, give us a call. We also got big ACLJ work that we could use your help on coming up. Welcome back to Seculo. There's a lot of brand new people, I can tell, just because I can look at the back end of all of this. There's a lot of new people joining us today on YouTube and quite a few on Rumble as well. If you wouldn't mind, because we do this broadcast each and every day, and we put out a lot of great other content, hit that subscribe button. It really does help us out a lot, costs you nothing. Gets our information not only into your hands, but into hands of others it's all the algorithm. But you know what? We are seeing massive growth in those places and headed towards an historic year, 6 months coming up. We need the most people to see and hear from our point of view as possible. So I'm going to ask you, encourage you to hit subscribe if you can, if you're watching on one of those platforms. Do we have Tulsi? Are we waiting? Still waiting? All right.
Hammer, in just a second.
We'll have Tulsi Gabbard joining us in just a second. Let me know when she is on. We do, again, have a lot happening right now at the ACLJ, and I do want to talk to you about a situation going on. We're going to talk about this in the second half hour, so I want you to stay tuned. Because the ACLJ is involved right now in a situation in Malaysia. And I know you may say that is not maybe on my radar, but we are going to discuss that coming up a little bit later, because there is a pastor in Malaysia and we are trying to help get him free, imprisoned, because he was witnessing, evangelizing his Christian faith. All right, we are joined now by Tulsi Gabbard, who is joining us live. Her book, For Love of Country. I'm saying it because I just saw your Instagram story saying, like, we got to get this thing on the New York Times bestsellers list, which, look, I have, as someone who's been involved in that situation before, I'm tracking how things are going. And if for some reason it doesn't, then I smell collusion.
Right.
I'm just saying, because they can't ignore what's going on with your book, because it is really taken off. It feels like every day I'm just seeing tons of posts about it.
Thank you so much, Logan. I have heard many stories about the New York Times editorial boards, the bestseller board, whoever the body is that makes decisions. They don't even claim to try to be fair. They say that ultimately it is an editorial decision. But as you know well, we need to make it as hard for them to make excuses about why they're going to keep this book, and more importantly, the message that I'm delivering in this book, off the list. So we got 6 days before they make their announcement and make their decision, and I really wanna make a big statement about the New York Times and give them the opportunity to be fair.
And I think if you make enough noise, I believe they will be, because I know the stink that will be caused if they don't. And we can see, again, thankfully, in some sort of modern society here, we can kind of look and see how these books and these projects do, and we can track where your book is going, and we know that it should be making those lists. So we'll see. We're praying for you. We're hoping for it. We're telling everyone to go get it. But why we have you here today is we also, which is part of your book, kind of where some of this funding is happening. We've seen now we're weeks into these campus protests. We just saw George Washington University, the police finally do their job, clear out the encampments. But the reports have been surfacing over the last few days, and we've discussed it on this broadcast, of where that funding for all of this comes from. And of course, it comes from maybe the sources that people will start screaming conspiracy theories as soon as you start saying where they're coming from. But you know, and I know, that these are coming from a very specific section of society, if you will.
It is. And when it's directly connected to so many of the other failed Biden-Harris policies and initiatives that we've seen across the country, this same group of billionaire donors who are supporting President Biden's reelection campaign, who are funding so many of these anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas protests on these campuses are the very same people who were behind the defund the police effort. They're the very same people who are behind pushing these so-called progressive prosecutor policies that ultimately favor the violent criminal over the victim of a crime. So we look at what's happening in these cities across the country where they are pouring not hundreds of thousands, but millions, tens of millions of dollars to fund campaigns like those of Alvin Bragg in New York City, like those of the progressive prosecutors in Philadelphia and Los Angeles and New York City and Chicago. The policies that are actually hurting people, undermining the rule of law, and really disrespecting completely the role of our police and their job, their responsibility to enforce law and order. There's a reason why they are doing this, and there's a reason why President Biden has been so hesitant to call out what is very obvious to the rest of us in this country, specifically with these campus riots. You know, how hard is it to stand as president of the United States and say, we should all, as Americans who love freedom and cherish peace, stand against these anti-Semitic attacks? We stand for the protection of free speech, even speech that we don't like, as long as you are respecting the peace and upholding the rule of law and order. And also, we as freedom-loving Americans stand against the radical Islamist ideology being propagated by terrorist groups like Hamas, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, ISIS, Boko Haram. The list goes on and on. They have been waging this ideological warfare for hundreds of years in a very calculated and systematic manner. We are seeing the results of that warfare on our college campuses today, not only in America, but in many countries in the West. And President Biden lacks the courage to speak the truth about this threat of Islamist ideology, whose goal is to rule over the world through Islamic law, because he's too afraid. He's afraid of being called an Islamophobe by the pro-Hamas elements within the Democratic Party, whether they be members of Congress like Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib, or they may be voters in different pockets of the country. This has been a problem not only with President Biden, but many other Democrat leaders, again, who refuse to take a leadership role and stand for freedom to counter this ideological warfare with the superior ideology rooted in our Constitution and our values and principles that are based in freedom. Again, they are too afraid. People who make decisions and live their life in fear have no business being in charge of and responsible for the United States of America, serving as president and commander in chief.
Seeing this all over. And look, I encourage everyone to stay tuned and listen to our next segment. If you really want to see what some of this Islamist law looks like in other countries, you have to hear about what we're doing at the ACLJ and our European Center with a pastor that is currently imprisoned in one of these countries that is under sort of this control. Why? Because of simple evangelism and really helping the poor, doing what you do as a Christian, as someone who is of faith. What happens? You end up in jail and potentially worse. So if you want to support that, you need to stay tuned and listen to that story coming up. But Tulsi, we've got about a minute and a half here. I did want to give you the opportunity again because I do want people to get the book. I have it right here. Go pick it up. Tulsi Gabbard, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. And I think this is an important time for people because you need to hear voices like yours who have seen what's going on in the country and realize that we are headed in a wrong direction. And even if it was a direction that maybe at some point you may have thought was correct.
Wherever people stand on their politics or their partisanship, or whether we may agree or disagree on different issues, it is critical that we stand together on the common foundation of freedom that makes us who we are as Americans. That is what is under threat right now. That is what is at the core of the message and experiences that I share in my book, For Love of Country. And it's what must motivate us to act in this election, to stand together, to defend freedom and the right for us to live in this open marketplace of ideas and a democracy where our voices rule the day. Thank you so much for all the support. Go out and get your copy today.
Just make sure, social media team, make sure we put it in the comments and the links, a direct link to make sure people can pick up Tulsi Gabbard, For Love of Country. She'll be back on, I'm sure, next week, and we will have to break down what the New York Times did or did not do, but I am hopeful. I believe. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Second half hour coming up. Stay tuned. Back in 1 minute.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. If you're just joining us, I'm sure you maybe saw that headline. First, I want to thank Tulsi Gabbard for just being on. But also, coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about what's going on in some of these countries and how the ACLJ gets involved. That's going to begin the next segment of what's happening right now in Malaysia. And I know you say, why do I care? Well, you care because it kind of also directly reflects what's happening on college campuses, as we've seen the rise of not only anti-Semitism, anti-Christianity, but also we have seen the rise in support of Islamic law, if you will, to be potentially part of the fabric of the United States of America's government. What does that really look like? I'm going to show you in the next segment. Okay, so you're going to stay tuned for that. We're going to discuss that. I did want to give everyone, Will, a very quick, brief breakdown, because a lot of people are just joining us. I can see in the numbers what's going on with the two kind of big movements in Trump cases across the country right now. I know you're seeing, you're inundated with Trump cases, and you may be trying to, it's hard to keep it straight. I've actually seen some of the calls and comments saying, I can't even keep all these straight. Trust me, I feel the same way. No one wants to be talking about this less than me. Okay, I would much
That's
rather.
That's a true statement. That is
I would
a true
much
statement.
Rather never have to talk about a Trump legal battle for the rest of my life. But unfortunately, this is where we are in society, because when you start persecuting someone, a lot of these cases, due to why? A political difference? You start to look like a lot of these countries, like you're going to hear about in the next segment, if you go too far down that road. But let's give an update of what the two big things are. If you listened to the show yesterday, by the way, you'll find the connective tissue there.
It's starting to look more and more like the cases from Jack Smith and also the one in Georgia will not come to fruition before the election. Yeah. In Florida, in the classified documents case, we saw yesterday and reported yesterday that they were looking into potential mishandling or altering of the evidence in that case. Those would be the documents that were brought forward. That was after an admission in court, a filing to the court by Jack Smith's special counsel team. And so yesterday, as we were expecting the judge to push back the trial date anyways, because they hadn't gotten to the place they need to be, and it was set for May 20th, she vacated the current May 20th start date, and it says it will be reset by a separate order following resolution of the matters before the court. Those matters she described as a myriad and interconnected of interconnected pretrial issues remaining and forthcoming. So she knows that there is a lot of work to be done to even get them in a place to go to trial. And then in Georgia, we have the fact that the appeals court has accepted the application for appeal by President Trump's legal team, and that is on whether or not to remove Fani Willis from the case. We filed in that motion, in that application for appeal, an amicus brief, and we wrote, a conflicted prosecutor who nonetheless proceeds with prosecution casts an odor of mendacity over the entire proceeding that cannot be corrected or remedied after the fact, meaning after the trial is over. It seems like the appeals court agrees that that issue needs to be heard in that way and not wait for this to end after a trial is over. So within the month, we will probably be told a court date or a hearing date in the appeals court on when they will hear that appeal.
All right. Hopefully that gives you an update on what's going on, but we are going to move on from that. So if you have a question or comment related to that, you can call in. In the next segment, we're going to talk about the real serious work that's happening. Do you know why there are actual people's lives at stake around the world for being a Christian or for sharing the gospel? That is still happening in our world. And guess what? Because the ACLJ has supporters like you, and we can be so vast in our work, our legal work, our work at the UN, places you don't even think we should be at, like the UN, we need to be there. We have to be there. Voices have to be heard. So in this next segment, we are going to talk about one of those very important situations that's happening. A lot of the times, we keep quiet. We don't talk a lot about what's happening because we're trying to work it out. But sometimes media presence is the only way to get an answer. So we're going to discuss that coming up in the next segment. But this is the perfect time to get in line. If you want to be on the air, in the last segment of the broadcast, you know me, I take as many calls as I can. So give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Try to keep it on topic. Definitely try to keep it clean. Come on, no cursing or guess what? This is not terrestrial radio. Our phone screener has to say, Sorry, you're not going to make it. Maybe you'll be banned forever. So don't curse. Call in. Be kind. Get a question or comment in. We'll take them in the last segment. Sign the petition right now at aclj.org/sign. Welcome back to Seculo. I did want to move us to a little bit more of a sensitive and serious topic that's happening. Not that the Trump cases aren't serious and not that the situation that we went over at Tulsa aren't serious. Those are very serious topics. But sometimes there are topics that deal with life and death. And that's what the ACLJ works on and our legal team is working on each and every day. Whether you see it or not, there are teams around the world working on cases that really do revolve around individuals, not just their liberties, not just their rights, but their right to just live in peace. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second. I'm going to encourage you, though, if you do have a question related to this or anything else you hear, to give us a call at 1-800-684-3110, because I want to hear your voice on the air, what your point of view coming up. This one comes out of our work in the UN. Okay, you mean like the ACLJ, we're actively involved, and the ECLJ is involved, this European Center, in the UN, and we actually have special access. We're able to request certain things, and we do what are called UPRs, and you check in from time to time, what's happening around the world. And the UN has to respond and say, here's some of the atrocities that are happening. And there's some of the times through a lot of our work there, we're able to identify specific situations that we can get involved in. And we think our audience needs to get involved in. This one is a Christian pastor, Raymond Koh. This is in Malaysia. He was forcibly abducted by the Malaysian government. He was targeted for his alleged crime. Evangelizing Muslims. We're now advocating at the UN, demanding that Malaysia uphold its own constitution, provide answers about what's going on and where this forced disappearance. Not only, they have footage of it. There's footage of it you can see of him being what they would call quote unquote disappeared. And ultimately we hope that he is found and freed. But it's going to take a lot of pressure and it's going to take a lot of work. And this is what's happening at the ACLJ. We are identifying these places where you would never even know this is happening because you're not thinking about it. And look, I understand. We have a tough world to live in, even in our own country. There is so much happening. Again, I've never felt this kind of anti-Semitism or anti-Christian rhetoric happening in my lifetime here in this own country. But you do have to remember people who are being truly, in a different way, in a much more grave way, being persecuted for their faith. There was a raid on this man's charity, by the way. And what was he doing? Helping the homeless, feeding people, doing what most Christian charities do around the world. There was a raid on his charity a decade ago.
Right. Yeah. In 2011, his church and charity was raided. Then they received death threats at their home. And he and his wife were questioned multiple times by the government's special forces. Then years after that raid, which obviously was a chilling effect on their work, as it were, what is called a rehearsed maneuver, there's footage from CCTV cameras that show 15 men emerging from three black SUVs, forcing him into one of the vehicles and driving off, and he's not been seen since.
And this took 40 seconds from the time they arrived to the time they had captured him. And we know what's happening right now. And again, in 2019, the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia found that Pastor Koh was a victim of enforced disappearance. That's when a person is essentially abducted by a state government and their location is concealed and removes them from legal protection. His wife is trying to stand up for him. Hopefully he is still alive. Hopefully we can still get answers here. And that is why the ACLJ is getting involved. His wife has courageously sued the police and several high-level officials. The trial is set to begin. It was meant to begin last year, and it could continue on throughout the year. So we're hoping that this is something that not only we can get people. Here's what we have to do with these situations. A lot of times, the number one way to help is through media advocacy. I talk about our media team all the time here at the ACLJ because I'm looking at them right now. Okay, some of the best in the business. But I also know because we've built such a strong following, and I'm looking at you if you're watching on Rumble. I'm looking at you if you're watching on YouTube, over 400,000 strong on YouTube, 200,000 on Rumble. 400,000 of you are watching from around the world. I saw someone pop in and say, I'm watching in Tennessee. I saw the next person say, I'm watching in Prague. If you can help us get the word out about this, the pressure gets to these countries and they have to respond because they don't want 400,000 Americans talking about this.
And on the other side of that coin, why we are effective at the UN, one thing that in the United States, we mostly think, the UN is bad, right? We don't like the UN. But sometimes, because a lot of these countries are dependent on UN aid, or they want to be in good favor of the UN, when we go to the UN and point out their human rights abuses, even if it is against Christians, which are many times we think of probably not the most favorite persecuted group of the UN, we know that if the UN is put on notice, then the country will be put on notice. And specifically here, Malaysia has laws against the very thing that has happened here. The government was violating their own laws, and many times it could be a local government or a state government or something lower than the actual executive branch of their government that took this action. But when this happens, because it's not something that's going to be on headline news or in our cable news cycle that's going to pop up, and it's going to go unnoticed in that part of the world. But when an organization like ours takes it as a part of our UPR, bringing forward this information to the UN, many times being able to speak at the UN about this, it puts them on notice because they are bound to uphold the provision of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights because they are a member state of the UN, that if the UN starts sniffing around, many times you start to see action within the country to uphold their own laws or to make something go away so it is not a bigger stink for the country on the global stage. And so sometimes you have to use that pressure at a global body like the UN to get justice for Christians that are being persecuted in these countries.
Yeah, I want you to be reminded of what the work of the ACLJ and through our European affiliate, what the kind of work is that we do here. It is so beyond a broadcast. It is so beyond talking heads, talking to you, giving you news updates. Sure, we discussed what we had to lead with today. We had to lead with the story that most of you are probably interested in hearing, which is the Trump cases, what's going on in those situations. But I know the real work that's getting done. The people that were actually out there supporting, people that were actually out there defending. And through our European Center, our international affiliate, which by the way has a status at the UN, we are taking direct action to advocate specifically for Pastor Ko. Each year we submit, as Will said, a UPR, Universal Periodic Review, to United Nations Human Rights Council, promoting and protecting human rights around the world. That is why we are there. We have also launched a petition. It is available on our website. I'm going to ask those who are, and of course, ACLJ.org. There's a lot of petitions. There's a lot of ways you can get involved on our website. I'm going to encourage you, actually, because it's going to be a specific link. It's different than the one that is the /sign. That's the current situation, the Trump stuff. This one, though, there is a specific link for it, but I do want to say put it in the comments if you're watching our social media team to make sure they can go directly to this and get involved.
And if you also want to read the full story of Pastor Ko, there's an article. It's right under the broadcast right now. It's the top story on the news section, and it says ACLJ urges Malaysia to release abducted Christian pastor Raymond Ko. You can read the full details of this case as well as sign the petition there. It's linked right up in the top right if you're reading that article. So it's another way that you can find it and learn more.
Again, illegally abducted by a government because he was evangelizing. And evangelizing also meant running a charity that provided food, provided clothes, provided all humanitarian needs, as a lot of churches, a lot of Christians feel compelled to do. But because of that, when it happens around the world, which is, look, why people like me maybe get so worked up when you see these protests on college campuses that are purely anti-Christian, purely anti-Zionist, anti-Israel. Because I know that the West is only represented by one area of the Middle East, and that is Israel. And then you have these kind of countries that still exist under those kind of laws where, sure, we believe the Malaysian government broke the law here by doing this. But to hold them accountable is way easier said than done when you have these kind of belief structures. And that's what you're always nervous of coming in and disrupting the freedoms that we have here in America, to where you can believe whatever you want, you can say whatever you want, as long as it's not violent or hurting anyone physically. We believe in the in fully uncensored free speech. That's why we're happy even to be on platforms like Rumble. We know that we can be there. We know we're not going to get kicked off there. But we have seen that growth around the world. You can get involved by going to ACLJ.org in so many different ways. But I wanted to bring that to your attention before we took calls and move back on to what was going on. There's a lot of calls on the Trump cases. There's calls on the encampments of the protests that are being broken apart, thankfully, finally, by the police who are allowed to do their job. Before that, I wanted to hit you with some real stuff that's happening around the world with the work of the ACLJ. We'll have Cece Heil on next week. She'll probably break it down even more because I know she's directly involved. She's traveling today. I'm going to encourage you right now. We got three lines open. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. And though this isn't one of our big fundraising drive moments, I do encourage you to still support the work of the ACLJ. When you hear about what we're doing around the world, you may say, how do they do it? And how do they do it for free for all of these people? We can't do that without you. So I'm going to encourage you right now, even if we're not in the middle of a life and liberty drive, we're not in the middle of anything like that, to just go to aclj.org, see the vastness of the work that we do. And if you can, support the work because it continues on. Again, that's at aclj.org. Again, I like to take as many calls as I can in that last segment. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Also, an answer from some sources in the Biden administration of why that shipment was put on hold to Israel for ammunition. We're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. We'll be right back in just a minute. Welcome back to Seculo, taking your calls and comments in this segment. Last chance to get your voice heard on the air. It would be a great time to call in as we screen through these calls. 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Also want to give you an update. I know earlier in the week we talked about how the Biden administration had put a pause on shipment of ammunition and weapons to Israel in support of Israel. Now, we do have some answers to that. Through some sources that have come out and said, oh no, I will tell you why, because they were historically being very quiet on why that pause happened. I'm sure a lot of us jumped to the conclusion, and that conclusion seemed to be right.
That's right. So the initial reports came out of Axios because Israeli officials told Axios that, hey, guess what? We didn't get shipments of munitions, and so therefore it appears the Biden administration has paused these. They were asked by news sources about this, and no one confirmed or gave any sort of statement about it. They were just silent on it until the New York Times reported last night that administration officials confirmed to them that the President Biden paused an arms shipment to Israel last week to prevent the U.S.-made weapons from being used in a long-threatened assault on the city of Rafah. They withheld 1,800 2,000-pound bombs and 1,700 500-pound bombs that he feared could be dropped on Rafah. So directly as a way to curb the usage of our bombs and munitions that were slated to go to Israel from being used in Israel's assault on Hamas.
Yeah, exactly. What we thought was happening. And of course, again, a very politically motivated moment, because the next day you had President Biden saying, you know, I will stand with Israel unabashedly without any, you know, we can probably find the clip.
We have that Biden. Yeah. This is from yesterday, from the speech at the Holocaust Memorial.
Just to clarify, that's yesterday, Tuesday. This hold was announced, on Sunday?
Correct, last week.
So Sunday of last week, a couple days later, then boom, here you have it. Let's take a listen to what President Biden had to say.
To the Jewish community, I want you to know, I see your fear, your hurt, and your pain. Let me reassure you, as your president, you're not alone. You belong. You always have and you always will. And my commitment to the safety of the Jewish people, the security of Israel, and its right to exist as an independent Jewish state is ironclad, even when we disagree.
Yeah, big words with terrible actions.
How ironclad? So ironclad they will pause a slated munitions shipment because of Israel's actions to defend itself in Gaza.
Of course. Let's go ahead and take a couple phone calls. If you want to be on the air, this is, again, probably your last chance to call in. 1-800-684-3110. We just lost somebody. Let's go to Christina, who's calling in Wisconsin, who is watching, by the way, on Rumble. And if you don't know, we're on Rumble each and every day, multiple times, as well as our live broadcast, over 200,000. You know, I've been talking about the 400,000 on YouTube, and that's huge. I'm so excited that we hit 400,000 on YouTube. But Rumble, which, by the way, I don't think they would be ashamed of me saying this, Rumble is not YouTube in terms of the amount it's available even. It's not even available, or it's not even available around the world because of the fact they are so dedicated to free speech. But we are on Rumble each and every day on the ACLJ channel, the American Center for Law and Justice. But Christina's watching on Rumble. Go ahead.
Well, good morning. At least it's morning here. Question for you. First of all, I live in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, Jewish Christian, and I take care of a lot of people of both faiths. And I get to take a lot of people to their synagogues for services and other things. And it really amazes me how many of the synagogues are pushing, supporting Biden. My parents lived through Vietnam. I'm sorry, World War II. I'm doing good here today. Yep. Anyway, and they made it here to the United States, had hopes that they would have a better life than what they had seen in Nazi Germany. And now I'm seeing a lot of what they were talking about happening here. How do we get people to understand that they have to support President Trump? Yeah. I don't want to get into arguments with people, but I'm looking for help to help them understand that Biden is not the friend of anybody.
You're watching on Rumble. What I would encourage you to do is, we obviously do this broadcast, but then we break down certain segments. Send them a segment like what we did with Jeff Balaban yesterday in our office at ACLJ Jerusalem so they could see what's going on. There is an importance here. Send them to ACLJ.org. I know they're going to probably see things they don't like, but maybe you could just send those clips. And that's why it's so important that we're on all these platforms, because you can send a clip and start winning people over for knowing what the direction is of this country. I actually have to say, there have been a ton of people silent in Hollywood and the music industry, there have been a few really strong voices that you wouldn't have expected necessarily. We have our friend John from Five for Fighting. You have Jerry Seinfeld, who's out there making pretty, who visited Israel during wartime. He's got a big movie right now on Netflix. And I mean, I just watched an interview we did with GQ, and it ended with him saying how he supports the state of Israel. And you need people like that to stand up. Now, will that change people's political perspective? No, but at least we'll maybe give them a moment to think about it. And we need to be able to open that door. We're seeing it massively in different communities that have historically just been marketed to by the left, whether that's Hispanic community, whether it's African-American community. But what we actually have seen is a massive shift in a lot of that, where it's not just going to be assumed that because of your race or because of your religion that you are voting one way or the other. We have to make sure that this voice is universally understood, because it goes beyond religion. It goes beyond race. It stands for just general human rights. It's what we're doing in Malaysia. It's what we're doing around the world, because this is the same battle in different ways. So I encourage you to really share this content as much as you can. And if you're watching online, you're brand new, welcome. I'm going to ask you to hit that subscribe button. I know that is the most YouTuber thing to say, but it really does matter. I can see the change each and every day in the new people that come and see this content. And that means new people, new eyeballs, younger eyeballs, by the way, people who are not used to hearing this point of view from people like us. We continue this phone call. Continue the phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. It's actually probably too late for you to get on air. Maybe Patty will make it. We'll see. Judy's calling in Oregon. Take us back to the Trump situation before we wrap up for the day.
God bless you for all the wonderful work you do. My question is, did Jack Smith or anyone in his office without top secret security clearance read these documents? Shouldn't they have been handled like psychiatrist records with a court-appointed person reading them?
I think you open up a very valid question here, Judy.
So typically an investigator would have some sort of clearance and able to be able to look at these, especially if they knew what they were going in looking after. Obviously, we can't say for certain, not knowing every single...
And if they were mishandled...
Right. Who knows at that point? But also remember, there was the call for a special master in this case early on, which initially the judge put in place. Now, the special master was someone who would have special clearance, have court authority to be able to sift through and figure out which was supposed to go here, which document was supposed to go here. And actually, an appeals court overturned that order of the special master that Eileen Cannon put in initially. So Judy, that's a good question. There was something like that in place originally, and then they got it taken away, and now you see what happens. Chaos in their own handling of the documents.
Listen, I'm going to ask you, just ties right into that, to go and sign our petition right now. The radical left has been weaponizing the system. We've seen that going against President Trump. We've seen that going against individuals. Sign the petition right now, aclj.org/sign. We are almost 100,000 people, and that's our goal. Again, this is not a fundraising moment. This isn't anything like that. I'm just asking you to actively get involved in the fight. Sign the petition. aclj.org/sign, another free thing you can do. If you're watching on one of our platforms, subscribe or follow, whatever it may be, whether it's on X, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Rumble, and of course on YouTube. Join us again tomorrow. We'll be back on Seculo. Go to aclj.org to support the work and to sign those petitions.